This afternoon, if you have your Bibles and turn with me to Jeremiah, and we're going to continue our study through the book of Jeremiah, and we're coming to an interesting time in Jeremiah's life. As I mentioned, this book is not recorded chronologically. The events we're going to study today really go back. We've been studying during the time of Zedekiah, which is the last king of Israel, who was one of the sons of Josiah. But we're going to be looking at another son today, and that is Joachim. And he was actually the first of Jeremiah's sons to take the throne. And so we're actually, if we look at it from a chronological standpoint, we're going back in time for the events that are occurring here, but they lead up to what's happened with Zedekiah. And part of it is we're going to be looking at the total lack of response to God's word that occurs within the nation of Israel at this time, in the nation of Judah. The lack of respect for God's word didn't just happen overnight. During the time of Josiah, when he was read the word of God, wept, and he called together those who were the spiritual rulers of Israel, and wanted to know more, and so he had them teach him the word of God, and then he took it out to the people, and he had the word of God read to the people, and he had the people taught the word of God. And so the word of God is very important to Josiah, not so much to his sons. And we've seen the total lack of respect for God's word that this son has. And so let's take a look at chapter 36 out of the book of Jeremiah. And so we're going to the time that Jehoiakim is the king, and Jeremiah was instructed by the Lord to record his what God has told him to do. And the Lord has been, as I mentioned this morning, the Lord has been, Jeremiah would go to the people and say, the Lord has this message from him to give to you. And then can you hear it on us, Jeremiah again? Well, that's because they didn't want to hear the message. And Jehoiakim really didn't want to hear the message. So let's take a look at what it says here. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, a son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take me a scroll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations. From that day I spake unto thee, and from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. And let's pause here. The Lord had been revealing things to Jeremiah since he first called him. Up until this time, Jeremiah had not been recording him, but he has a man who is his recorder. He's his assistant. His name is Baruch. And he's going to be the one that is given the responsibility as Jeremiah shares what God has placed on his heart. Baruch is writing it down. And they didn't have paper like this. They had scrolls. So either parchment scrolls or animal skin scrolls, but the various scrolls that they would write on and record on. And so Baruch would be recording on the scrolls. And this is going to be everything that's happened from the time that Jeremiah first began to bring his ministry to Israel during the time of Josiah up until now, and then later on will continue to be recorded after Jehoiakim is gone. And it may be that the house of Judah will hear the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So once you see what the purpose of writing this down was, it just wasn't so that they have a written record. It was so the people could constantly be brought to their attention again. And what the Lord is saying, if you say this and record it, and then it's read again and taught again, perhaps the people will respond. Perhaps the people will repent. Perhaps they will turn back to me. And this is God's desire. God's desire isn't to judge them. And when it says that the Lord will bring evil upon them, it's not that the Lord is the cause of evil, or the Lord is going to bring circumstances that will cause them to have to examine their hearts and their relationship to Him and make choices. And God isn't going to cause evil to come upon them. God isn't going to cause them to choose to reject Him. God desires that they repent. But it's going to cause circumstances, and specifically at this time, during Jeremiah's lifetime, Babylon is going to be used as the tool of God's chastisement against Judah and the remnant of Israel that's with Judah, and to try and get them to repent, and if they won't, they'll be taken into captivity in Babylon. And so that's what it means by, it says here that the Lord is going to bring evil upon them, the Lord isn't the cause of evil, but it results in circumstances that result in chastisement, which is uncomfortable for them. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up and cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from thy mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people, in the Lord's house, upon the fasting day, and also shalt thou read them in the ears of Judah that come out of their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil ways, for great is the anger and the fury of the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And again, just pausing, you can see God's grace and desire is not to bring judgment, but judgment's coming if they don't repent, and the choice is theirs, and it's still theirs. And Baruch the son of Neriah, according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading the book of the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah out of Jerusalem. So they're putting on the pretense of we want to hear what God's got to say, we're going to listen to what God's got to say, and they're really putting on the pretense that perhaps you're going to change your attitudes. So we're going to have a fast, we're going to call a fast, and it's going to be involved with everybody that's coming to Jerusalem. And so we've got people from these little cities and the little towns that are surrounding Jerusalem. They're coming to Jerusalem, and the word is going to be read by Baruch, and they're all going to fast. Then read Baruch and the book, the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Jeremiah, the son of Seraphim, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. And he wants you to see where he's reading this. He's reading this as the people are coming in to the city and coming into the temple. This would be a place where all the people could gather, all the Jews could gather. It's not a place that would just be for the priests, like the holy place or the Holy of Holies. This would be the court where the people could gather, and it's a gate to enter in there. And so the people would be all hearing this. It's not going to be just the select group. Jeremiah and the Lord want everyone to hear these words. Verse 11. When Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Sephan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber. And lo, all the princes that sat there, even Eliashama of Shemaiah, and Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and Jemaiah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah, declared unto them all the words that he had heard, Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. So the first reading was to the general population, yet people, the princes weren't there. They were all gathered, the nobles, the leaders of Israel, they were all gathered away from the people. They hadn't heard of it. So when again, they had heard of it, took the words and brought them to the princes. He brought them and shared anything that he had heard, said to the general population. And he's sharing that God's word is for the people of Judah. Verse 14, therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thy hand the scroll whom thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the scroll and the roll in his hand, and came unto the princes. And they said unto him, sit down now, and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and others, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. Now, the words that the message of Jeremiah kept bringing, and it began with the first son, Jehoiakim, of Josiah, and the message didn't change, it only intensified. It started out that judgment was coming, that God was going to judge them, and was going to judge them because of their wickedness. They had abandoned the true worship of the Lord. They had begun to worship their idols again. And they had begun to worship their false gods. During the time of Josiah, they had been hidden in the houses, and people went undercover with their false worship and put on a pretense of seeking to turn back to God. When Josiah died and the sons took over, what happened is they brought out their idols, and they brought out their false gods, and they began to worship again like they had done. And God sent Jeremiah to tell them the consequences of this are going to be dire for you and for Jerusalem. And he was saying that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The temple is going to be destroyed. That you are going to be taken away into captivity, and those that aren't taken into captivity shall be killed by the sword, by pestilence, and it will happen here in Jerusalem. And you think that you've got this, that God is going to protect you, but he's not, unless there's a change of heart. Well, when the princes hear this, their immediate response is fear. They believe the words of Jeremiah, but they want to take it to the king, King Jehoiakim. And it came to pass when they had heard all these words, they were afraid, both one and other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. And so Baruch tells him, this is not something I made up, it's not something that I wrote down, it's the words that God gave to Jeremiah, it's the Lord speaking through Jeremiah, and Jeremiah told me to record these words exactly, and that's what I did in this book with ink. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go, hide them, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where you be. They've got an idea what Jehoiakim's response is going to be, so they tell Baruch and go find Jeremiah and go hide. Because they said the king is not going to be happy with what he hears, and he's probably going to turn for your heads. And so he tells them, go hide, but we will take this to the king, and we will let him know, and we will speak these words to him so he has no excuse. And they went in to the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber, and Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi, to fetch the scroll. And he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. So the princes were hearing it the second time, the king's hearing it the first time, and it isn't that the princes initially told him, so it would be their rendition of what they heard, and he may have left something out, and may not gotten anything, but now they've got the scroll, and these are the words of the Lord spoken through Jeremiah exactly. It would be like in our reading the Bible. This is the Word of God. This is what God had instructed the people and inspired them to write down. That would have been what the scroll was that Jeremiah was taken before the king. Now the king sat in the winter house, and there was a fire in the hearth burning before him. I want you to take note of that, because that fire is going to become very significant in about 30 seconds. The king's got a fire. It's very easy to see. The fire can, it's an open fireplace. They even have screens all over them, so it'd be very easy to get at the fire. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he hadn't even read the whole scroll yet. He just read a portion of it. He cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the wool was consumed in the fire that was at the hearth. That is the respect which American have for the Word of God. He basically said, if I get rid of the Word of God, it's not going to happen. God's Word is just written down, and it's just Jeremiah's words. It's not really going to happen. I'm not going to listen to this anymore. So, like I said, he only listened to a portion of it. He didn't even listen to the whole thing. He didn't even listen to everything that the Lord had to say to him. But he took and cut it with a penknife, cut it up in pieces and cast it into the fire, and it burned. And so he destroyed the Word of God. I want to tell you, the people that do not want to repent of their heart, but have got a hard heart towards God, the one thing you want to do is destroy the Word of God. So it makes no difference, it's not real. You have people today that, what are they trying to do? They're trying to destroy the Word of God. The Word of God says that in the beginning God created. What are they going to do? They're going to destroy the Word of God. So they say, well, no, God didn't create in the beginning, it's evolution. The Word of God says that a man should take a woman, and the two should be one, and they should be married together for life. One woman for one man. Well, I don't want the Word of God, so I'm going to cut it up, throw it away, and I'm going to say, I can live with anybody whoever I want to, whenever I want to. I can change partners whenever I want to, and it makes no difference, because it's what I want to do, not what God says. We can go and look at a number of different things that God says. God says that we are to be holy and just, we are to be righteous in our living. And the people say, I'm not going to live according to God's word, I'm going to throw it away, I'm going to do my thing, in my way, and I want to do it. I'll live the way I want to live. I'll associate with the people I want to associate with, and I'll do the things I want to do. If I want to allow various drugs to take over my life, I'll allow them to take over my life. I'm not going to listen to God's word and make your spirit the center of my life, and your spirit control me. I'm going to do what I want to do. That was Jehoiakim. When he heard the word of God, he says, I'm not listening. I'm done. I don't want to hear anymore. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to change. And if I burn it up, it won't happen. If I burn it up, it's not real. That was his attitude. A lot of people would say that. Well, if I just ignore it, God isn't real. Well, I was talking to somebody and they were saying, well, if if there's a say, for example, there's a storm and it's half an hour west of Fargo and it's coming and there's a tornado, and the weatherman comes on and he says, there's a tornado approaching, it's going to hit Fargo in half an hour, get in the basements, get in the, and the person goes, well, if I just ignore it, it's not going to happen to me. The tornado is not going to come. I'll just ignore it. And say, well, that guy is being a fool. Well, that's a weatherman. This is God speaking. And God controls all things. And God says, this will happen to you. I will cause these events to occur to bring my judgment upon you if you don't repent. And God says, well, if I know that it won't happen, and God really can't make him listen. And he's right there, God can't make him listen, but God won't change the fact that the circumstances are coming. And it came to pass that when Jehovah had read verse 24, yet they were not afraid, nor went for their garments, neither the king, nor any of the servants that heard all those words. It's interesting princes were by themselves, they were filled with fear. But when they had the king that disregarded the word of God to the extent that they threw it away, the fear left them. And they didn't wear their garments. And a lot of times what happens is people will listen to someone they can see instead of believing the authority that's really there. And the king isn't the real authority, the Lord is the real authority. But they didn't want to listen to the Lord, and initially they were afraid because they knew that the Lord was the one in control, but all of a sudden they forgot that when the king spoke, because their fear was greater for the king, and they respected him more than God. When you respect men more than the Lord, you will do extremely foolish things that can result in your demands. Nevertheless, Elnathan, and Delilah and Jeremiah had made intercession to the king that he would not bring the royal, but he did not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of Ham-Melech, and Delilah, the son of Azariel, and Shalman, the son of Abdiel, and to take Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet, that the Lord hid them. And so the princes then told Baruch, you better go get Jeremiah, you better go hide. They really knew what the king's response was going to be. And that's exactly what the response was. He wanted to go and get them, and he wanted to punish them for saying these things. Take me again another roll, and note all the former words that were in the priest roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence the name of the beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day of the heat, and in the night of the frost. And so God pronounced a severe judgment on Jehoiakim for who is bringing the word of God. God did not treat this lightly. When he says that his body should be cast out, Jehoiakim's body, when he died, was cast out. And remember when we went through and we're looking at the various kings of Israel and Judah, we talked about the godly kings of Judah were buried with their fathers and buried in the place of the kings. Jehoiakim was buried in the mercy place. He was buried in the place where they took refuse in animals that were rotting to throw out their carcasses. That's where Jehoiakim, a king of Judah, was buried. And that came about just as God said it would come about. And because of his lack of respect and honor of the Word of God, his total disrespect, but not only his disrespect, but giving those that were under his authority the disrespect at the same way. God doesn't take it lightly. The consequences to those who have led people astray are serious. Remember when Jesus was dealing with the false teaching of the Pharisees, and the fact that they had no concern even for children, and used to leave them and teach them falsely. And Jesus said that if you harm one of these little ones, it would be better to immerse them, place it on the neck, and cast into the depths of the sea. God doesn't take destroying life, spiritually or physically, lightly, and he promotes his judgment through Jeremiah upon Jehoiakim. Verse 31, and I will punish him and the seed of his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and upon the men of Judah, all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. God said, this is going to happen, and you brought it on yourself. I gave you an opportunity to repent, and you did not repent. You did not rend your clothes. You did not cry out in repentance. You did not even fear me. Once Jehoiakim was in your presence, but instead you listened to him. So judgment's coming. And then he said that, in verse 32, and they took Jeremiah, another role, and gave it to Baruch, his servant, and the son of Moliah, who wrote then from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the flame. And there were added besides unto them many like words. So God expanded his prophetic judgment against Judah and against Jehoiakim in the new book, new scroll, and better. I want you to understand that people think we can destroy the Word of God, but never be destroyed. A prime example of Voltaire. Voltaire was a French philosopher, and he lived during the 1600s, and he said that he would destroy the Word of God, and that the Word of God would be of no consequence because of the teachings that he presented and how that he spoke out so inflammatory against it and desired to see it destroyed. It's very interesting that after Voltaire's death and a number of years later, the house of Voltaire had only lived in became a place for Bibles to be sent out of in the use of the Christian ministry. God is not going to be trifled with, and you cannot destroy his word, no matter how hard you try. It's interesting in China, trying to destroy the word of God, to try to change the word of God, to have the Chinese Communist Bible, which is rewritten, which destroys God's authority in God's word. But they're still, God has given the Christians that are driving underground, and the church is growing in China, where they're trying to destroy it and trying to prevent God's word from being heard. And now, well, if you're caught with the Bible and you're in prison, you can be put to death. Yet, now we're seeing more people coming to Christ than we've ever seen, and God's word is underground being passed out to people. Bibles are being given. God's word will not be stopped. God's authority cannot be quenched. He is God and King of all things. And he desires that his word go forth, it will go forth. And Jehoiakim couldn't prevent it, nor can we today. Let's just start closing for our Father who prayed with you, just help us to learn about the importance of being the respecter of you, and walking in fear and reverence of you, and not being afraid of you. The princes of Israel capitulated to the authority of Jehoiakim, and judgment fell on them for it. Well, initially there was a fear because of your words and what you said prophetically, yet when it came to the presence of men, they changed their attitude. Lord, we will never be influenced by men, but we will be influenced by you. Lord, speak to us and help us to learn from this study today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn to me, looking to 317. Break bread, bread of life. Okay.
Break out of bread of life, dear to me, as thou didst break the loaves inside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I sink in love, my spirit has been falling in love. Yes, thou didst break the loaves inside the sea, as thou didst bless the bread of Galilee. Then shall the bondage cease off of his heart, and I shall find the peace now of him all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me the heat and live with me above. Teach me to love thy truth, the law of love. O soul, thy spirit live now unto me. Let he may teach your eyes and make me free. See how the truth can save without thy word. For in thy book revealed I see thee,
Lord. May your word touch our hearts and let me open our eyes. And will help us to walk closer to thee. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.